Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What's clear is you've put the work in, quite honestly, having been strumming since the age of five. Is that actually true? And what was it that first prompted you to pick up a guitar?
Yeah, it's entirely true that I got my first one when I was five. Even to me over the years, I go, oh, really? That's five? But I actually, funny enough, I do remember it. I was obsessed with this little toy wooden guitar with plastic strings on it. And I remember being... I remember being given it, and it was in the window of a shop that sold booms and buckets and brooms and, you know, those kind of things, household products at the end of our street. And my mother just said to my dad, look, he's obsessed with this guitar in the window. Should we just get it in? And my parents they're still around, and they're Irish, still Irish, and they're big, big music fans. I mean, music obsessives, really. So... there was music in the house, and they were really pleased that I took to this thing. And then I got my first kind of one that I could actually play chords on and start to actually learn to play when I was eight. So there's never been a time that, from being a little boy, that I haven't had one, and I have absolutely no idea what sort of drew me to it, but I'm glad something drew me to it. Obviously, yeah, it's worked out.
Did you have guitar heroes at the time? I mean, you mentioned that your parents are Irish, and I'm presuming there was quite a lot of sort of traditional music and stuff in the house, or am I just being romantic?
It actually was quite romantic, but it wasn't that there was traditional music, because they were young and they moved over from Kildare to the city centre in Manchester, on the outskirts of the city centre. They kind of rebelled against traditional music, and they were really into pop music and rock and roll music. So, funny enough, it's my first kind of hear the sound of Eddie Cochran and the Everly Brothers, which were almost retro records then. They played those records really loud and with great joy. And those records, luckily for me, I've got very distinctive guitars on those Everly Brothers and Eddie Cochran things, and, you know, like Come On Everybody and all of that. So that exciting guitar sound I was drawn to. And then my mother particularly, she liked the sort of late 60s pop groups, like, so whenever the Hollies came on the radio and bands like that, and they always had, they had really good guitar parts. So, but my first real hero that I just gravitated to and was obsessed by was Mark Bolan in the early 70s, because what we now know in the UK is glam rock, the Sui and T-Rex and Bowie and Roxy and all of that. I was primed for that because I was a little teeny bopper, 10 or 11, and dead eager to spend whatever money I had on records. So, and again, those records, even looking back at them now, were really built on absolute stonking killer guitar riffs, something like the Sui or Suzy Quatro. But Bolan particularly, I thought his sound was beautiful and he looked beautiful, and his whole message was mysterious, and I was right for it. And in some ways, it's never really left me, that.
And do you think of yourself as having been and being a sort of cause-motivated musician? I mean, did you ever want your music to be more than just great music, you know? I mean, the Smiths were regarded as a pretty political band, I guess, in many ways. Yeah. But I'm not sure if that's something that you felt has driven you, you know, in the more recent times.
It came with the territory if you were an alternative musician in the early 80s. If you look at the other bands who came out around the same time. Some weren't quite as overt, but it was all played out in the music press, which was very significant and influential then. I think the NME and Melody Maker, they were selling something like 160,000 copies a week. And the common... it wasn't always... Well, no, actually, it was actually pretty explicit. The common enemy was the Margaret Thatcher's government, and all the political stuff that was going on in the country then. It was more national then, rather than now. I think generation concerns are really quite different. They're a bit more global, but that's a whole other thing. But to answer your question, pretty much if you were in an indie band in any time up to the late 80s, you were by definition, you had some kind of agenda or some kind of standpoint. And it was played out, as I say, through the music press, and we were literally all on the same page. And then whatever, 30, 40 years later, when I was first started out, which was 10 years ago with the solo records now, and with my own solo band, I realized this quite clearly because I was being interviewed more specifically just about myself and my values, and it started to come up quite a lot. My friend Maxine Peake is in the same situation where it's just part of being interviewed. You get, oh, well, you're political or what? Well, I think it was just having values, and it never occurred to me that to not have a position, really, because ultimately I am a almost fairly typical rock guitar player. I sort of falling out of bed at 11 o'clock, kind of, you know, don't want a job.
Still?
Yeah, musician. Nah, those days have gone, sadly, but I wish. You know, so there's a side to me which is, there's no other word for it, but this is an absolutely dyed-in-the-wool bohemian, but which I think should come back. It's a term that is, you know, missed. But I did care. I cared on a social level, and I cared on a human level, and a spiritual level even, and I still very much do. And a lot of observation does creep into quite a lot of my current songs and all my solo songs, really.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, though, because you're also, alongside Mars Guitars, you're releasing an album called Spirit Power, which is a sort of best of your solo records, but there's new tracks on there as well, and the new single Somewhere. I mean, it feels so incredibly joyful and optimistic, and you want to get up and dance to it. And I wondered where you found that spirit of euphoria during times that certainly don't feel euphoric when you look at, you know, the headlines in the papers and, you know, just the everyday reality of people's lives.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I know what you mean. Yeah, well, that song, it's a funny one with songs because I got the tune and the riff when I was... I did a lot of gigs with the Killers at the end of last year in the States, and you're playing in their shows are very uplifting. And I was playing a couple of numbers with them during their set. So maybe that rubbed off on me. And I've been playing the last couple of years since the pandemic. I found myself, I went on tour with Blondie in the arenas and doing some big outdoor shows with Noel and people like that. So as a musician, I'm finding myself on these big stages playing to big audiences. And you kind of, you know, it's quite a good idea to have a few upbeat bangers. There is, you know, even on that level, you know, when you look down at your set list and you go, okay, this is, I mean, usually my songs are pretty up-tempo these days anyway, but so there's a little bit of just kind of pragmatism where, you know, that's what me and my band are doing at the moment. But when the tune was so, is so uplifting and, as you say, you know, positive, I when I came up with it, I thought this is either the most annoying thing that anyone's ever heard or it's quite good.
You brought up Noel Gallagher, which is a fabulous and very helpful segue for me, because you've played with an extraordinary number of people. I mean, you mentioned Blondie there, but, you know, there are so many artists that you've worked with, but I think few of them you've handed out guitars to, bringing us full circle back to Mars Guitars. But I think Noel was one of those honoured with the gift of one of them. So how can you bear to part with them, and what was it he did that made you want to hand one over?
Well, it's become quite a, I guess, notorious or infamous kind of story, that, but the truth of it is, was my younger brother told me about a mate of his who'd started a band. And my brother's a very very sort of a discerning guy, and he doesn't kind of rave about things too often. And he just said, this guy's
he's Mancunian, isn't he?
He said he's just really cool. Like, he's all right. He's a cool guy, which means a lot coming from my brother. And so, okay. And then, so he introduced me to Noel. And at that time, Noel was on the Dole, and Oasis had only played about 4 or 5 gigs. They were just this really nascent, you know, like many bands. I mean, no one had any idea. Well, maybe Noel had an idea, knowing Noel, but that he was going to go on to world stardom. But he was just someone I liked. And what happened was, I went to see him, literally, I think there was 12 people. Their mates were, he was third on the bill to this band called Molly Halfhead. Remember them? No, neither do I. But he went on about 7 o'clock, because I was there, and they played this set. There's a whole backstory that I bumped into Liam before. And what I said to Noel anyway, he asked me what I thought. And I said, well, the gaps between songs, you need a backup guitar. And he said, quite rightly, he said, well, that's all right for you to say, I'm on the Dole. So I thought, well, he really does need a backup guitar, and it would be wrong to give him a kind of crappy one. So I gave him, on kind of permanent loan, I gave him one of my Smith's guitars that I'd actually got from The Who. And I did Panic on it, a Smith song, and I did a few others. And I gave him that. And then started writing some songs on it straight away. And as soon as I saw him, I think it was on television playing it, when they then broke through pretty quick, I just saw it, and I could see that he was in love with it. So I said, I'll just keep it.
He's still got it, I presume.
Oasis style. Oh, he's still got it. He loaned it back to me for the book, because my new book is photographs of all my guitars. And I thought, well, the story's pretty good, and it's become quite a famous guitar now. But the thing was that about then he got onto he started being managed by my management then, my office. And then they took off pretty quick. And about 7 months later, I got a phone call one morning from my office. And the person said, oh, listen, Johnny, Oasis got in a fight on stage last night. And it actually wasn't with each other. They got in a fight with the audience. And your guitar's been broken. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do about it? And they said, well, have you got another loaner? So I went, give me a minute. I should tell you that I used to drink at this time. So anyway, I ran downstairs and I got him a replacement, and then I let him keep that as well. So it's fine.
You're a fool to yourself. One last question, which is just of all of them, I think I said there's about 132, which is interesting because actually I know that Mark Knopfler's about to auction a lot of his guitars off. I think, divesting of kind of the flotsam that he's collected over the years, and for charity, as I understand it. But I think the number was about 132 as well. So is there, out of that number, which is clearly the magic guitarist's number of guitars to own, is there one that you could absolutely never part with, and why?
Well, there is, and the reason, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's because it's the one that I design and I play all the time for. Fender invited me to make a Fender Johnny Marr Jaguar. It's actually quite a recent one, but I guess I did it in 2011. And people can buy those guitars and they do really well. I'm very proud of it. But from a technical point of view, it's perfect for me because I literally designed it for myself. But also the I used it on the James Bond theme on No Time to Die, and I used it with Billy on the song No Time to Die. So it what happens in the book is that it starts off with a photograph of me in my bedroom in like 1980 with this guitar that I still got. Well, that came back to me. And then it finishes with this one I'm talking about. It's called the Comet Sparkle, which is a really beautiful name for a guitar.
Yeah.
And it's a one-off. There isn't any others like it. And anyway, so the book starts off with me in my bedroom and it ends with me doing the Bond theme with the orchestra. And even I look at that and go, what the hell? So that'd be the guitar that I keep for that reason.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.